Thank you. Just make sure your first is. Have you got a Bible?
Yeah, I have it.
Yes, just make sure see it on the screen. Make sure you're centered. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
So we thank God for His goodness throughout our lives. And we thank God for bringing us here to listen to the word of God, which is immutable, unchangeable, so powerful. So Jesus prayed, "You shall sanctify them by pray for the word to be administered." And we pray that the Holy Spirit will take total control of the situation and the word, and He will apply the scriptures into our personal lives, into our family lives, into our mission, church life, everywhere, O Lord our God. So let us be guided and let us be led by your word, by your Holy Spirit, O Lord our God. We thank and praise for this opportunity, Lord our God, which many, many millions don't have to study the Bible together. Oh Lord our God, we don't want to take it granted, oh Lord our God, because it is a means of grace that you have ordained, oh Lord our God, coming together and studying the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His word, oh Lord our God. We thank you. Take care of this time. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, Father. Amen. So I would like to talk from John chapter 21, verses 18 to 25. So anyone can read just 7 verses. John chapter 21, verses 18 to 25. Okay, can anyone read John chapter 21, verses 18 to 25?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wait, sorry, 21 to 20.
21. Chapter 21, verses 18 to 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to be? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to be? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony was true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, for which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written on him.
Okay, thank you very much. When I was traveling all over the world, I used to see the advertisement or caption, you know. So HSBC Bank, it advertised, actually I saw a long time back, but this is how it goes. If the world is of same kind or similar kind, then it will not be interesting. The world is of same kind of people, same kind of thing, then the world will not be interesting. So what they wanted to convey is that we need varieties. We need diversities. We don't want people to be alike. We don't want things to be alike. So they wanted to convey the message. So what is that to this state? I mean, this context or sentences? Okay, we'll come to that. So you see the context. So they went for fishing and they had not caught any fish for a long time. So Jesus appeared third time and he said, throw the net on the right side of the boat, and they got innumerable fish, you know. They could not count. They were pulling and pulling, even to the extent that boat was about to capsize. So God bless, you know, a simple example. He said, throw the net to the right. He didn't ask any question. They just threw, and they were blessed. So obedience always brings blessing. Okay, unconditional obedience. Lord, if you explain only, because he would have told, Lord, we have been catching, sorry, we have been waiting here for a long, long time. We have been catching, but no fish, Lord. Now you say that right hand, you know, you throw the net right hand of, I mean, right side of the boat. So they threw and they caught the fish, but there were no fish before that. And there were fish after Jesus taught. And they would have imagined, they would have, you know, argued or debated with God, Lord, it cannot be because there are no fishes here. How can you say throw the... So we don't understand many things. What we had to do is just like Peter obeyed to Jesus, and we have to obey. Sometimes we don't need explanation. God doesn't need to give explanation to us for every command. So Peter just obeyed, and obedience brought blessing. Okay, it will bring, definitely it will bring spiritual blessing, no doubt at all. With a physical or material blessing, you know, I don't want to go into that, but definitely he will provide all that we need when we obey. That is guaranteed. That is promised, okay? Because I obey Jesus, he will not give me a helicopter. You know, that is what, you know, so... Here, the context is that they had no fish and they got a lot of fish. Okay. Then after that, Jesus started asking three questions to the Peter. We know the context, you know. Peter, do you love me more than all these things? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Okay, second time. Third time. Third time, he was grieved. He was sad. Lord, you know I love you. But the question is, why did Jesus ask three times, do you love me? Because actually, God called him and he separated him to be fishers of men, Matthew 4:19. And he was following faithfully. Now, after the resurrection, I mean, between the, you know, death and the resurrection, they were scared. And they went back and they started catching real fishes. But he had called Peter to catch men, but he was trying to go back to the sea and trying to get real fish. So he lost that fervor, he lost that passion. So that's what Jesus was reminding. Do you really love me? Then follow me. You know, Matthew 4:19, he said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Here, the second time after the resurrection, he commanded Peter, follow me, okay? Feed my sheep, you know, tend my sheep, you know, feed my lamb. And he said, follow me, okay? Then he warned him, your following me will result in martyrdom. You will die as a martyr. So he was explaining, when you are a small boy, you are running around in your village, you know, stretching, you know, I mean, girding, loin and, you know, your waist with, you know, clothes and all, small boy, you would be running around. But when you become a big man one day, you would stretch your hand and they will tie against your own wish and they will take you. So in the first century, the symbolic term. Stretching out hand means that being crucified. But Jesus was telling, prophesying that Peter would be crucified. And that happened in the history. And you know, no? But Peter said, don't crucify me like my master. I don't deserve. I am not worthy to be crucified like my master. Crucify me upside down. And he died martyrdom, actually. As a martyr, he died. So then Jesus asked him to follow after that. The verses 21 to, you know, following verses, we are going to concentrate more. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who has also leaned on his breast or bosom at the supper, said, Lord, who is the man who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Okay, he was asking, okay, Lord, you told me that I would be dying this kind of death. Okay, what about John? What about John? So what's the problem with Peter? So, you know, when Jesus was in this world, he was moving around and preaching gospel and doing ministry all over Galilee, Bethsaida, Capernaum, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, all over. He was doing the ministry. So there were many, many multitudes followed him. Then after that, 70 people, they were called 70. After that, there were 12. After that, there were how many? Big circle. And after that, 70 around Jesus. After that, 12. After the 12, among 12, 3 were so close. Jesus could take them, only 3 sometimes, into a house. Peter, James, John. Out of 12, if you read the gospel, they were a little closer to Christ. So in some places, he would take only 3. And out of 3, one was so close than others. Who is that? Apostle, the epistle of love. You know, the apostle, Apostle John, his nature is very tender. He's an affectionate man. So his letters, his epistles, were full of love. Even the Gospel of John, more than other 3 Gospels, would describe the close and intimate relationship with the Father and the Son, but which you would not see in the other 3 Gospels. Only in John's Gospel, you know, high priestly prayer, where do we see high priestly prayer? Only in John 17. Father, you love me. Father, I know I love you. You know, and all these love languages between Father and the Son of God, between Son of God and the disciple were described by Apostle John only. He was a different person. So that's what, you know, he was inclining, you know, on the bosom of Jesus, on the chest of Jesus. So such a close disciple. So Peter actually, that's what Peter was a little bit curious. You know, okay, you told God I would die like this. But what about John? How is he going to die? Like me? Or is he going to die as a natural death? Or is he also to be crucified? Or will he be beheaded? Then Jesus gave explanation. No. What did Jesus say? It is none of your business. It is none of you. In a sense, he asked, what if he remains? If he lives, till I come back? And you follow me. Okay? So here, what is the problem with Peter? We have got identity crisis in this world, you know, because Peter, even though he was prophesied he would die like this, and he was asked again by the Lord Jesus Christ to follow him, yet instead of looking or concentrating or exploring the commandment that Jesus said to him, and I mean thinking or meditating how he was going to die, how he should prepare himself for this death, he just started concentrating on other man. Lord, what about that man? you know, in Sri Lanka or sometime in India, if you get results from the government department examination, you know, all the children would have written an exam. So immediately they will ask, what about that girl? What about this boy? What about that man? They are trying to compare. Oh, she got 2AB. Oh, he has got 1A, 2B. Oh, she got 3A. Oh, so they are trying to compare with each other. So here, Peter wanted to compare himself with John. So we need to be careful. So some lessons we can learn from Peter's life. Number one, you know, we should never ever go back from our calling, whatever circumstances. Jesus said, after putting your hands on plow, don't take it back. After putting. But before putting your hand on the plow, you can think million times. There's nothing wrong. But once you put your hand on plow, and don't take it. And Jesus was actually, Jesus called Peter to follow me. Then he left the nets and the boats. Now, what is he doing? He's going to get the nets. You know, he left the nets here. He took the nets and he is going to the boat and the sea. So in a sense, he was kind of backsliding from his calling. You know, I tell him in Sri Lanka, if the UK or USA government is telling, okay, all the pastors can come and stay in USA or UK, how many pastors will remain in Sri Lanka or in India? I used to think, you know, they will come. They don't bother about their calling. So they just serve people for the money. They have got ulterior motives. So did they. So they will immediately throw their calling, reject their calling, and they will go after the mammon, money, or the worldly things, just like Demas departed from Paul, loving the world. So we should never, ever give up our calling. Even if we die, we should have the conviction that God has called me to do this ministry. Whatever ministry is, if the God has called to do a particular kind of ministry for me, it may be sweeping, it may be, you know, washing, or it may be singing, it may be preaching or teaching, or it may be government, it may be administration, whatever the gift, then I should be faithful. But Peter was indirectly reprimanded by God. Peter, I told you to follow me, but you left the nets and boats and came to me. But now you are drifting from me and going back to the nets and the boats. So I worked in the government department 5 years, 90 to 95. We call in Sri Lanka, Brother Bonindran knows, permanent and pensionable job, well-secured job. Well-secured job. Even if you are sick for 3 months, salary will be coming. No problem. That kind of job, you know. Permanent and pensionable job. So when I was resigning, people, you know, shouted at me, yelled at me, why are you resigning this kind of job? You can't get it back and all. Then one Muslim brother came and asked me, how will you survive after resigning my job? I said, God has called me. One who has called me is faithful. One who has planted tree will water it and he will fertilize it. Okay? So I have no problem with that. So when God calls us, he calls us with conviction. Even if my life goes, I will not bow down to the worldly things. I will bow down only to God and his word and his calling. So Peter went back. Brief period. Then Lord restored him or Lord brought him back. Okay. So then second thing, we should be ready to die as martyrs. Are you ready? You know, one of my friends in India, he told me is going to write a book on how to die as martyrs. How to die as martyrs. So in Tamil Nadu, South Tamil Nadu in India, there was a chief minister called Karunanidhi, his name. He died now. I mean, he's dead. So he told there's only one life. Soon it will go, but let it go for Tamil language. So she was so affectionate and he loved the language. So he always said, there's only one life, soon it will go, let it go for Tamil. But I tell our people, there's only one life, soon it will go and we will be in heaven, definitely, but let it go for Jesus. So whether you die as a martyr or whether you are going to experience natural death, all will be in heaven. But when we die as martyrs, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified. So that's what in that verse, I have no time to describe. But he said, he is going to glorify Jesus Christ by his death. So martyrdom brings glory to Christ, even though we feel sad, I mean, worldly point of view. But ultimately, martyrdom brings glory to God. So that's what something God allows, martyrdom. So concerning Jesus' prophecy, certain people said actually he'll be restrained, no longer the master of his own movements. Leon Morris said actually. So the clerk says, ancient writers state that about 34 years after this, Peter was crucified, that he deemed it so glorious a thing to die for Christ that he begged to be crucified with his head downwards, not considering himself worthy to die in the same posture in which his Lord did. So Eusebius, Prudentius, Chrysostom, and Augustine, they said how he was crucified and all. So Jerome says, he was crowned with martyrdom regarding Paul under Nero, being crucified with his head downwards and his feet upwards because he alleged himself to be unworthy of being crucified. Peter, in the same manner as his Lord. Anyway, so this was his. Right. Second thing, God wants us to mind our own business. Third thing, God wants us to mind our own business. In Christendom, one of the tragedies, we are trying to compare ourselves with others. And then we always get dejected, disappointed, discouraged, and sometimes depressed, looking at others' life. Oh, they are prospering. Oh, they are more blessed than I am. Oh, they have received so many blessings. Oh, they got many, many, many more members. So when you try to compare, then when we try to compare, we'll be in trouble, actually. Okay. So, Jesus is the rightful Lord of every person, and he has the authority to determine how each one serves him and how and then when each one dies. He's a sovereign God. He does not have the same rule, same path, same manners for each and everyone. If you try to compare, then you're finished. He's sovereign overall. So he decides how would Finn live, where he would do ministry, what kind of ministry, and then Daniel from Moldova. People are from different countries, different nature, different personality, different language, different context, different situations. The Lord decided in Acts 17, Paul was telling that God has ordained your territory, your boundary, your geology from the beginning. That is amazing. People go from one country to the other and doing the ministry, planting the church, preaching the gospel. At the same time, for some people say, don't go. Be in UK. Be in London. There are many people in London city. But for some, he will say, go. For some, he will say, stay. But John, what would God say? Okay, so that's what we should never ever compare ourselves with others. That's what I say. Identity crisis. We want to be always someone else while God wants us to be ourselves. You know, God wants us to be ourselves. But we are. But we always say, because I mean, the worldly people, they have got a problem. They want to be like their celebrities, actors, politicians. Mm-hmm. You know? So they try to copy them. Their hairstyle, their dress, you know, their action, their speech. No, people are different. So Peter's personality different, John's personality different, Apostle Paul's personality different. James, you know, everyone's personality different. Titus' personality different, Timothy's personality different. So God uses different kinds of people with different personality. So we don't need to compare. I should know. I mean, 1 Peter, actually, 3:11, I think. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and elections sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. No. So we should make sure, what is my calling? God has selected me before the foundation of the world. The calling, two kinds of calling. You know, what is two kinds of calling? There's a general calling. All people are called by God to repent and believe in Jesus. General calling, all the sinners to repent. And the specific calling means when you are saved, baptized, and added to the church, then you have to play a specific role. God has called you to sing. God has called you to preach. God has called you to teach. God has called you to paint. Or God has called you to do administrative things. Or some people are good in planning. Some people are good in administration. Some people are good in, you know, arranging things. No one can. So my wife, actually, she's an administrator, actually. She will do things, she will manage things very beautifully than I. If I do that, I will bunk it. But she's good at it. So we are born with different nature, different talents, different gifts. We are all unique in Jesus Christ. Not only I was fearfully and wonderfully made, but I'm also fearfully and wonderfully called by God. Yes. Your calling is unique. There is only one Brother Andrew. He cannot be replaced by others. You know, I always say the peacock. What is peacock doing? No, peacock will be dancing. You know, it'll be very nice. If you look at, did you see peacock dancing? It'll be very nice. And the cuckoo will be singing. That'll be very nice. Now you imagine, cuckoo will be dancing, peacock will be singing. What would happen? Huh? Chaos, you know. Because God has designed, God has created, God has placed them in the animal kingdom to play certain roles. The problem in the church is actually, I try to be someone else. If some brother or sister is going to be prominent, or she's become famous, or he's become famous by his gifts, by his or her gifts and talents or abilities, then I want to copy. Then I want to be like them. No. Yeah, someone said, there is only one Spurgeon. You cannot be another Spurgeon. There will be only one Spurgeon. There will be only one Jonathan Edwards, or George Will, or William McDonald, or Warren B. S. Pitt. So, you know, they're all different. R.C. Sproul is different from John MacArthur. John MacArthur is different from Paul Washer. Or, you know, people are different, so we cannot compare. So in cricket, one day, one cricketer was being interviewed by the reporter. Then he asked, Who is the best batsman in the world? Sachin Tendulkar or Brian Lara? So that cricketer was very diplomatic and very shrewd. So he said, two cannot compare both. He is good and he is excellent. He excels in his own batting style, stroke style, Brian Lara. And Sachin Tendulkar, he's different. He's unique. He's best in his own style. So don't try to compare. They are unique. They are different. So in the body of Christ, we should understand people are different. Because I cannot sing, actually, you know. As far as the East is from the West, so is music to me. You know, so I cannot sing. If I start singing, then all you will run. One day, and the donkey which was tied, when I started singing, even the donkey could not tolerate my singing, and it ran away. Because I cannot sing. But I will encourage those brothers and sisters who are singing. Sing, brother, good. And, you know, you want, any help. So I encourage them because God has not called me to sing. That is not my job. So when someone is excelling in his area, in the area, we should not become jealous or envious. Rather, we should encourage them to come up well in their gifts. Okay, brother, you are singing very well. Why don't you go for some training? Something like that. Oh, your brother preaching very well. Why don't you go to seminary? Or why don't you go to someone who can train you in homiletics or hermeneutics? So we should encourage each other. So my because I know what is my job. If I want to be someone else, then who will be myself? Huh? If I want to be someone else, who will be? Huh? If Pastor Ernie wants to be someone else, who will be Pastor Ernie? Yeah, God wants us to be ourselves. If we try to compare and if I try to want to become someone else, then in a sense, I am undermining God's creation. Because God wanted in his eternal wisdom that I would be in Sri Lanka, I would be working there, I would be doing church planting, I would be doing this and that. But if I want to be someone else in USA or Japan or somewhere, then I am undermining the calling of God. Because God has placed us in our own places where we are now to serve Him. So that's what Cuckoo must sing and peacock should dance. Not the other way around, no? Yeah, something like that. So we have to be sure for what purpose God has called me. So in the day of judgment, when you meet God, then you will be able to tell, like Paul, I have run the race, I have finished my race, and I have finished the eternal purpose of God in and through my life. I have fulfilled God's plan. Lord, here am I. So will we be able to say like that? Lord, I have done your will in this world. Jesus said, Apostle Paul said, can we say like the Lord, here am I coming, I am going to die, Lord, now. I have run the race because of your grace and mercy, successfully, faithfully, and I have fulfilled your purpose, Lord, and you called me to be so and so and so. So I was like that, here am I coming, Lord. With that satisfaction, will you be able to enter the presence of God? Oh, Lord, I missed the opportunities. I was trying to look at others. No. God wants us not to look at others calling them. But at the same day, saying this, by comparing, you can compare certain good habits and learn. Okay? If the, for instance, the 11 o'clock is a meeting, then one brother will come always 10:45 or 10:50. He will never miss. That's a good habit. So I am comparing, I am 11:15 always. But that sister or brother, 10:45. Then I said, oh, that is a good habit, being punctual. Being punctual is a good habit. So I want to be like that. That is a good thing. You know, trying to learn. Oh, that brother talks very nicely. He will never get angry. He will never become short-tempered. I know one brother in Sri Lanka, is very, very humble, and the way he talks is very polite, you know, very, very pleasant also. But I'm not like that. But I want to learn from him, brother, how in such a circumstances you are calm, you are quiet, you know, you are meek. Suppose if you ask him if it is possible by him, he will say yes. If it is not possible by him, he will not offend you with the abrupt answer. He will say, yes, brother, I understand your situation, and I think this time. So we know that it's going to be no. But he would not say no, because that's a good habit when you person is he will not snub anyone. He will not insult anyone. So there are many good things that we can learn from others. I mean good habits, good behavior, not the ministry. We cannot copy others' ministry. In India, there was a big, huge minister. He went to be with the Lord. Okay? So, and there was another pastor. He also went to be with the Lord. But he will be acting, oh, God is loving. So he will also tell, oh, God is loving. Then someone was trying to copy Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. You know, someone said he will say like this. I know. So we don't need to copy others' preaching style. You have got your own preaching style. You have got your own preaching style. God did not destroy our personality when he saved us. Rather, he is using our personality for his glory. You know, I know one couple. Okay, if you crack one joke, that sister will laugh 9 times. Just for one joke. But to her husband, if you crack 9 jokes, you will not at all laugh. That's their personality. But they are together and they are good grandchildren also. But she is very sensitive to the jokes, but he to a different personality. That is not sin. You know? You see the different colors of the flower, different canopy, different trees, shape of the leaves, and different colors of fish, color fish. If all the flowers would be rose, will the world would be nice. All the flowers, wherever you go, rose, 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 rose. No. Variety of flowers. You know, you can name it. So many. Everyone has their uniqueness. So one day, they have problem. Between rose and jasmine, they have problem. The rose, even though it was beautiful, he did not like people appreciating jasmine for her, you know, fragrant smells. Ah, jasmine, you know, you can know there is jasmine from far away because smelling. So the rose was not happy at all. He was thinking, you know, so all are telling, you know, jasmine fragrance, the smell is very fragrant, very pleasant, very sweet. So he wanted to become jasmine. The jasmine was thinking, oh, what, you know, I am white only. You see so many different colors in roses and all are, you know, all like roses more than me. The jasmine was worried. This is what happening, the identity crisis, you know, I say, in the stand-up. No, everyone is different. Some are called to be pastors, some are called to be deacons, some are called to be evangelists. No? Yeah. Some, not all. So whoever has been called by God, who has been bestowed or endowed with gifts and talents by God, then we must support them, we must encourage them, we must motivate them. We should not be jealous. When you try to compare, then you will become jealous, you will become envious, you will have complex problem. No. You are the only one, Shan. Only one Shan. The unique you. You cannot be someone else. You know, one big man, he was a good, apologetic. And his brother-in-law was a good expositor of the Bible. So this man wanted to become like his brother. father-in-law, who is a master expositor of the Bible. But this man is also very famous in defending the doctrines of the Bible. So if he wanted to become Bible expositor, then who will be apologist? So that's why never compare. You know, this is the problem in the ladies, you know. They were comparing Saul and David. And problem starts. You know, Saul, you know, killed 1,000, David killed 10,000. And they compared and they say, that's Saul. That is the beginning of the downfall of Saul. Became jealous, envious. He was trying to kill. So we are all different, brothers and sisters. Because we are uniquely and personally and individually loved by God. That's why He had chosen us, predestined us, He called us, justified us very personally. So in the ministry also, He has got our personal goal, personal objective. But in Sri Lanka, there are many godly ministers. I learned from them. But I cannot copy their ministry, and I don't want to become themselves. Because they are different, they are unique. They are used by God mightily, praise the Lord. But I am different, that's all. I am not bigger than them, but I am different. So that's what we should understand. But the question is now, are you sure of your election? Are you sure of your calling? Are you sure of the purpose of God who has got for you? What he has got for you. That's very important. Otherwise, we'll be drifting like this, no? Like, you know, something on the sea, you know, it will go like this, it will go wavering. We'll be wavering and, you know, we don't know what to do. Before we think, our life would have been finished. So we should know for what purpose God has called me, God has got me. What is the purpose of life? Why do I exist? Morning going to the work, coming in the evening, morning going to the work, coming in the evening, you know. That's like, you know, in Sri Lanka, an animal, we get loose in the morning, we unleash, and they go, and they do pasturing, and, you know, they are eating grass and all. Then they are coming back. In the morning, they are going, evening, coming back. Our lives are not like that, is it? It has got a purpose. Jesus came with a purpose. So we should live with the purpose. So we are unique. That's what Paul, Jesus said, Peter, you follow me. He's different. I have a different purpose for him. I have a different purpose for you. You are not under him, or I am not undermining you. I love all the apostles. Peter, I love you. I love John. I have a different purpose for him. He has to die natural death. You have to die as man. So God chooses. God chooses. So we have to submit ourselves humbly to his sovereign will. So many things, you know. Some may have 10 children, some may have 5 children, some may not have children. God has got different purpose. Some are married and doing the ministry, some are not married and doing the ministry. They are all doing the ministry. And some, you know, Robert Murray Mitchell, he died very early. But some of the ministers, they died very late, 95, 96. But he was taken when he was 36 or 37. We don't know God's ways. Because God did not take him because he was more sinful than others. He let others live for a long time. No. It is absolutely God's plan and God's purpose. I cannot ask. What should I ask on the way to Damascus when Paul was confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ? His eyes were blinded. He could not see. He could not even speak properly. But you know, with stammering, he asked, Lord, what you want me to do in this world? So we need to ask, Lord, what you want me to do in this world? Otherwise, we'll be wasting our time, we'll be wasting our talent, we'll be wasting our energy, we'll be running here, we'll be running there, we'll be running here. Now, we should be the purpose. We should be men of conviction. So, when I go back to Sri Lanka, I can fly directly, it'll be easy. But I purposely booked the ticket touching Dubai and go, because there are 10 people, 15 people. They are not church. They going here and there. Our sheep are wandering, scattered. They don't read the Bible properly. They don't pray. There's no one to go and ask them. So those sheep. So that's it. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we should always be the business. Business of God. You know, that's very important. So here Lord Jesus was telling to Peter, Peter, you are different. It is none of your business how I will use my servant. One may die 30 at the at 30, one may die at 60, one may die at 90 and come to me. No, 1 Corinthians 12. You see the gifts of God. 1 Corinthians 14. Eyes are different, legs are different, hands are different, but they work together. If they fight with each other, can you survive? No, eyes are eyes. Yes are yes. Hands are hands. Hands should not compete with, you know, eye. Then who will be working for yourself? You will be starving. The hands become eye. No, hands are hands. So in God's body, in God's church, in God's kingdom, for what purpose God has created me? So we should make sure our, not only our election, even our calling, even our specific calling. That's very important. Then you will have something like job satisfaction. You will have ministry satisfaction. You will have ministry satisfaction. Your soul will be glad. Okay. God called me to do so. So by the grace of God, I knew the Lord was calling me when I was studying in the university. My mentors, they observed certain gifts and talents in me and they suggested. But I also knew the Lord was calling me. That's why I resigned after some years. I never, ever regretted about resigning my job. Never, ever regret. Never, ever regret. The moment I resigned my job, the Lord started blessing more ministers. Then I could go around and preach the gospel and plant the churches, you know, teaching and training and mentoring. The Lord confirmed that. So everyone is different. I don't say that you should become full-time. Huh? No. I know one brother, he's a pastor. Till his death, he was working and shepherding. Because God has called him in a different capacity. But other brother, he resigned his job and worked. So you cannot expect that person also should resign. No, no, no. That is God's calling. It's different, but it is immutable. You know, that's what we had to be ourselves. Be yourself in the Lord. Be yourself in the Lord. Don't try to be someone else. You are what you are. You are who you are in the Lord. So enjoy the Christian life. Knowing that, recognizing that, I am uniquely created, uniquely saved, I am uniquely called to do God's ministry. So enjoy your Christian life, being yourself in Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, so be yourself. Don't try to be someone else. Don't try to go beyond. You know, the Finn tries to become Daniel, and Daniel tries to become Finn. No. Finn is Finn, Daniel is Danny. Huh. So everyone is, every flower is beautiful. Rose is beautiful, jasmine is beautiful, Christian, you know, so many flowers. They are beautiful in their colors and natures and all. So that's what in the body we will be what God wants us to be. Then that will totally eliminate complex problem, jealousy problem, envy problem, and head problem. Because we are given gifts by God. It is not my gift. It is given by God. So I cannot be boasting or bragging about my gift. So it's given by God, I'm using it. So another gift is given to another sister or brother, he is using it. Praise the Lord, we will build together like these members work together to feed this body. So we need to feed the church of God while we work together. We can do that. So be yourself. you are unique, you are different. No, you are differently able, differently created, and there can be no other person like you, because you are unique in God's eyes. Shall we pray? Father, in the standing in our Christian life and the ministry, someday we are tempted to compare ourselves with others. And sometimes we tend to become disappointed and discouraged while looking at others' lives, their prosperity, and their spiritual growth, their ministry, especially Lord. But you have called us to do the ministry that you want us to do. So Lord, help us identify our calling, identify our talents and gifts and the ability, and to employ this for your own glory, to build your church, to build your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy and grace, we are what we are. We are who we are. You want us to be ourselves. You don't want us to be someone else. Peter is different from John. John is different from James. Oh, Lord, our God. So even though we are different, we work together, we build together, we worship you together. We minister together. We glorify your name together. Because you have called us as a body, Lord our God. So thank you, Lord, for reminding us this truth again. So let us be ourselves always in the Lord, for his glory. Oh, Lord our God, please help us to do so. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, any questions? See you, brother.
If anyone has any questions, please do ask.
Rabbi, there was perhaps some words recalling the ability.
Could you go up to the front and ask, just because your voice may not carry? If you just go and stand by the chair, to sort of.
So people are on Zoom.
I'm going to take this offline, actually.
You can ask this. What is the question?
The question is, you had different words. It was calling, the ability, and what other words was it? You have to make clear if you are
election and calling.
Election, calling?
Yes.
Okay. Ability also?
Yeah, you have to identify your gifts or talents. If you don't identify what gifts or talents, ability God has given to you, you may not be able to use it.
So identify this before.